What's going on? My name is Will, and I have the honor and the privilege as serving as one of the leaders here at Transformation Church. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has such an incredible word for you today. So let's jump into this amazing message.
Today, I have a word that is about to change everything. Now, when I say that, some of y'all be like, nah, because that other word, that was the one. Okay, cool. But he that have an ear to hear, let him hear. I thought about what would be the most impactful message I could share with somebody after the amazing Easter that we had, where over 1,024 people got a fresh start. And more than just those people, there are people who have been living a stale life, a life that had no motion, no actual momentum, that actually said, you know what, God, you're doing something in me. You felt your faith, you felt your baby jump, you felt something, and you're like, you know what, I want to live a fresh life. I said, what would I tell them if I could sit with them one-on-one? And I begin to list out a few things. Number one, I'd tell you that Jesus loves you. Number two, I'd tell you that you're gonna make it. Yes. Yes. Like, I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but if I was just sitting across from you at a coffee shop, I would tell you, you're gonna make it. Yes. If the enemy was gonna kill you, he would have done it back there. You, somebody look at your neighbor, prophesy to them and say, you're gonna make it. Look at the other neighbor that you didn't like as much the first time and tell them, you gonna make it too. Come on, in the chat, tell them, you gonna make it too. So I tell you, Jesus loves you, then I would tell you, you're gonna make it. And then I wrestled with the third one. Because as a pastor who loves to encourage people and preach faith, I always like to end things on a high note. But the more that I get into pastoring, something that wouldn't have made it on my list as the third thing, but I've walked with enough people to see that people would rather know the truth than to actually be told lies that feel good. Am I in a room with people who want the truth? Okay, we keep it humble, open, and transparent here. And so I said, I should tell people, if I was just sitting with just them at a coffee shop, just looking them in their eyes, Pastor Mike and you, I would tell you to get familiar with failure. Now, I know. Aren't you the crazy faith guy? I'm completely the crazy faith guy. Aren't you that guy that believes God can do immeasurably be above more? Yes, I'm that guy too. But what I found in this Christian journey is that if you are not calibrated with failure, it'll stop your faith. If you don't have a healthy relationship and you manage expectation around failure, it will make you be paralyzed and crystallized in a season of disappointment. And I am here to help shake somebody out of that moment, because many of you have been in a place where God is speaking to you, telling you what to do, opening up doors, and you won't move because you're afraid to fail. I can't do the company because what if I fail? I can't say that because what if I don't sound right? I can't do that. And failure has you paralyzed at the point of your purpose. And if you do not get a healthy relationship with failure, it will hinder your ability to step out in faith. Okay, I'm about to preach heavy today, so I need you to take notes, and I need you to probably run this back two or three times, because there are people that are about to do, I sense it so strong, about to do things that were unheard of for anybody in your family, that God is about to open up doors in your life that are never gonna shut for generations. I feel this thing, that God is gonna allow you to walk in revelation that is gonna change the minds of people you will never meet. But the enemy would love to stop you at the point of the fear of your next failure. It ain't even happened. Okay. It ain't even happened. Yet it's controlling your present because of the possibility of your future. The title of today's sermon is Fresh Failure. If you're gonna walk in faith, I need you to know that there may be a time where you have a fresh failure. Failure is a part of walking in faith. We talk about all of these stories like they just happen, like a fairy tale, like a Disney movie, and we edit out all the parts that could seem like a failure. Noah built the ark, his whole family got on there, and two of every animal just happened to get on the boat. That was a failure if you met up with Noah 42 days after starting the ark. Where, I don't even know where to find a giraffe. No, think about it. Like, did anybody find an iguana? Anybody find an iguana? Oh, God, the iguana, they on the other side of the world. Think about it. Wood, I ain't never built nothing before. Like, if you would have snapshot Noah's life at a certain point, you would have called it a what? Failure. But he was acquainted with people walking by every day saying, he's stupid. That don't make no, did y'all see Noah out there building that ark? It was a failure until the day after it started raining. See, and if Noah and his family did not have a healthy relationship with failure, it would have stopped them in the middle of their faith journey. Okay, I'm trying to move, but I gotta talk to the religious people who would be like, no, I don't never fail. Shut up. Because what we are presenting people is a gospel that is going to disappoint them and then allow them eventually to deconstruct it. Because if everything is pie in the sky and everything works out all the time at every moment and no, we can believe and be real about the situation. Oh gosh. Ooh. I'm not gonna lie to you. You may not be a millionaire. You may not get a six pack. Okay, I'd. You may never preach on this stage. Because some of y'all, that's why I moved. God gave me a vision that I was going to be at Transformation Church and I was going to be on the stage and Pastor Mike was going to call me and we was going to sing Yahweh together. That? No. That may happen. Or. If I keep selling you something that is not congruent with the biblical model of how God refines people, sanctifies people, transforms people, it seems like failure may be a tool in God's hands. There are certain things you may learn in a mess up that you don't learn in a victory. There's certain things that you may learn in it not working all the way out that prepares you for it to work all the way out. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you do not get a healthy relationship with failure, you will stay paralyzed at the point that your faith needs to kick in. So what I wanted my first point to be is something that would be really just truth. It's fake to act like you never fail. If you're one of those believers who to get saved, you had to literally admit, I'm a failure. Can't do this without you, God. I'm nothing without you. And then after that, somehow you're supposed to now never fail again. And you judge people who do. Church people are the worst at kicking their fallen heroes. The same people you went to the conference for. If they mess up and under the pressure that they were under, we just, boom, they ain't nothing. They shouldn't be allowed. They can't. And the Bible clearly says, he said, those of you who are spiritual, I need you to restore those who fall in gentleness. I need you to remember that you have the same capacity to experience the same thing. But for some reason, It's like when we come to God as a failure, we don't think that failing is a part of the equation anymore. And today I want to give you the ability to reframe, refocus, and renew your mind about failure. Okay? Let's go together. Many people's ability to walk in faith is being hindered by the illusion of failure in the future. Write it down. Many people's ability to walk in faith presently is being hindered by the illusion of failure in the future. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do tomorrow? I'm walking heavy today. If you knew that you couldn't fail, what would you do tomorrow? I want you to really answer that question. Would you actually write the business plan if you knew that what you wrote could actually happen? Would you actually move to the city God told you to, knowing nobody, not having it what you need? If you knew, somehow this is going to work out. Somehow, with God on my side, and with this little bit of faith that I got, it's only the size of a mustard seed. But with this little bit of faith, God said in the word, I can move mountains. And most people will not do the thing that they know God. He's confirmed it 52 times over 10 years to you. And you still sitting here, but like, Lord, what about this apartment that you gave me? He said, I'll give you another one. Are you holding on to all this for that house? You holding on all this for that status? Well, I just don't want to go home on Thanksgiving. You know, my family is ruthless. They would roast me if I told them that I actually left medical school to actually follow God in this other vent. Okay. If God be for, not if your family be for you. Okay, I know this is heavy, but there are many times you will have to walk out a faith step in the face of the people you love disagreeing with what God has called you to do. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. I want you to get, oh God, you want everybody to agree with you, and they won't, because God didn't speak to them. And if you're waiting for the confirmation to come from somebody who doesn't pray, do not understand how you are wanting somebody who does not have a relationship with God to confirm to you that God told you to do something. What? Well, they got so many years of wisdom, and they've been disobedient for years. Money does not, okay. Well, they're a guru in this space, and God's hand is not on them. This is what I'm telling you. Saul was still in position as king when God had taken his hand off of him. He don't listen to me. He won't obey me. I'm not talking to him no more. And if you do not get your eyes off of people who have been successful, but God's not speaking to them the way he's speaking to you, you will find yourself in the wrong spot. Hear what I'm saying to you. You have to make sure that you're okay walking in the tension. This relationship may not make it, because they don't believe what God has called me to do. Okay. Or maybe this relationship is going to be suspended in the level of intimacy, because everything doesn't have to be cut off. Sometimes they just don't need as much access. Oh God, I'm done with you. Unfollow. No, you're being dramatic. Stop. Because maybe in a different season, we will have the space, the capacity, and the emotional awareness to be able to actually do something with that. But at this current moment, can't come to you when I'm still deciding for myself if I'm gonna obey God. Because your 2 cents of doubt, it's going to take me over, and I'm going to be in the deficit. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. So many people's ability to walk in faith is being hindered by the illusion of failure in the future. But on the flip side, many people's ability to walk in faith is being hindered by the impact of failures in the past. So it's both and. Some of us are scared because we don't know what's going to happen. And some of us are scared because we do know what happened last time. The last time I did this, when I stepped out in faith the last time, and today I want to talk to both groups of people soberly, having walked on both sides of that pendulum, having had to live in the tension of things that I've done working out really good and then things that I've done working out really bad. And then God's saying, all right, get up on the horse again. Let's try it again. Yeah. And I'm like, Lord, wasn't last time enough? No, we walk by. Last time wasn't enough. Until you come and meet me, I will always put a faith project in front of you. Did y'all hear what I just said? Until we go and meet our Savior, there will be a faith project in front of you personally. And if you keep ignoring that faith project, what you are doing is delaying your fruit. I want fruit, not without faith. You cannot have fruit without faith. And you cannot have faith without building in a measure of failure. All right. Maybe we don't just need a healthy relationship with failure. Maybe we need a holy relationship with failure. Like that word holy means set apart. When I fail, I'm looking at it like, God, what are you trying to do in me? How are you setting me apart by this thing not working how I intended for it to work? What are you trying to carve out of me? What are you trying to carve me into? What are you trying to scrape off the sides of my heart or my soul? What are you trying to redirect in my language? How are you trying to use this moment that seems like a failure right now to set me apart? I found a guy who's an Olympic failure in the Bible. He has the gold, silver, and bronze medal at failing. His name is Peter. And many times we look at Peter's life and we don't fully realize, this is what I realized, how close to Judas Peter was. Everybody dogs Judas for betraying Jesus. But Peter was kind of at the same caliber. I can prove it to you in the Bible. I'm gonna walk through this. The difference between Judas and Peter is when Judas betrayed Jesus, that was the end of his story. He didn't go past the failure. He let those little coins be the end of the failure. But Peter, just a few chapters later, does the exact same thing for no money. He didn't even get paid for it. It was a little girl. They're like, "Don't you know Jesus?" He's like, don't be telling me I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus on the set. I don't know Jesus. No, I seen you with her. I bet you better not say it again. I bet you better not say it again. Like, he about to stall off on a little child. He denied him. And why do we, like, don't be the Judas. Nobody be like, don't be the Peter. Why? Because Peter did not let his failure be the end. He kept pursuing Jesus after the failure. I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but you do not fail if you keep pursuing Jesus after the failure. And today I want to encourage you to do the same thing by looking at his life, because many of us, again, are paralyzed and we're going to go down in history with this, I thought God was going to do it, and God's standing there like, I'm trying to. So when I found Peter in John chapter 21, verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, I love context in the Bible, because we just read these things like it's just like really calm and peaceful. But like, Jesus has just died. Like, everybody's scared. The disciples are freaking out. he's sitting there with the guilt and shame on him that he denied Jesus three times and never got to tell him, I'm sorry. And I think he was stressed. And the disciples like, what are we doing today? He's like, I'm going fishing. Y'all know how sometimes you do things just to like, I got to get out of here. I'm going for a drive. What are the things y'all do like when you get to that point? What's that? Somebody said, I go to drink. Stop. Hold on. Wait. Wait a minute. Come back. Okay. I'm going to smoke some weed. Huh? Wait. Hold on. Wait. I'm going shopping. Like, this is someone's like, there you go. All of them is real. The reason I'm saying those things is because all of us have something that when we get overwhelmed, I'm going. And I think this is where we find Peter, and this gives a better context. He says, I'm going fishing. And his homeboys was like, well, okay, well, we'll come too. And it says, so they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. This is another failure. If this is your profession, if you are a fisherman and you fish in these waters all the time and you know when to go out and you know where the fish are at and you know where the schools go and you know the sun and the tide and all this other stuff. So you set out at the right time on purpose with the right people who know how to do what you do and you did it for a long time at the tune of all night and you caught not a shrimp. I mean, I went fishing, but at least let me catch a crab or a squirrel. The Bible says they caught nothing all night. That would have been considered another what? Failure. They're sitting in a failure. And verse 4, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows. I don't know why it turned British. Fellows, like he got a British accent right there. Have you caught any fish? And Jesus being petty right here. Cause he know. They ain't come, why you asking me if we catch any fish? You know this business didn't work, God. You know this relationship didn't work. You know this last church I went through didn't work. You know that my eyebrows is not working with me right now. You know this, Lord. But sometimes when God asks a question, it's never to find out an answer. It's for you to locate where you are. If he knows everything, he's not trying to figure out, did you? He knew you didn't catch no fish. He's trying to set the stage for a miracle by your self-awareness. So if you didn't think you were broken, God may ask you, are you tired of being broken? And if your answer is, I ain't broken, he'd be like, cool. Until you recognize you need me, I'll let you sit in that. I'm telling you, all throughout the Bible, in the garden, when he asked Adam and Eve, where are you? You think he lost them? It's only two of them on the whole planet. He didn't lose them. He was trying to give them an opportunity to locate themselves. And this is part of what we have to do as believers, is be self-aware enough to be able to say, where am I really at? Am I acting like my life is good? Am I acting like I'm paid, but I really feel empty? Am I acting like I have a stronger relationship with God, but it actually is quote scriptures that I'd steal from somebody else's page and I read them as I post them? I'm gonna get back to the word. Amen. Fellows, have you caught any fish? No. Like they didn't even explain. Like, no. Then he said, watch this. Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. Hold on. I'm in the middle of a failure and somebody I don't know, because the Bible says they didn't know it was Jesus, yells out an instruction that honestly, if I'm not thinking about it correctly, insults my intelligence. You caught anything? No. Do something different. Throw the net on the right side. You ever seen the mechanics that be having the cigarettes that just be like, that's what, y'all know what I'm talking about? It feel like, in my mind, I'm sorry, I see things like movies. In my mind, it's like, throw that thing on the right side. And you'll catch some. Now watch this. The fact is, Peter's in a season of layered failures. Has anybody ever been in that season before? Okay, where are the real people? I said, has anybody ever been in a season of layered failures? And somebody's saying I'm in it right now. Come on, let's be honest. Okay, is anybody in a season of layered failures right now? Okay, I just need to make sure I'm at the right church. Because the thing is, the failure is not going to define us. Because we're about to learn what to do with this failure, okay? Peter is in the midst of a layered failure. The guy that he left everything to follow, Jesus, is dead. He's running for his life, okay? He denies Jesus 3 times and doesn't get to say sorry. So he's dealing with the guilt, the shame, and the frustration of that. And now he's done the one thing that he thinks he knows how to do. And catches nothing. For most of us, that would be enough to jump off the boat and drown ourselves. No, let's be honest. Hey, y'all, it's been a good run. Don't tell anybody. Mom, bloop, I'm out of here. But look what Peter has the faith to do. In the midst of failure, he says, hey, y'all, pull up the net. What are we doing? Y'all heard that voice that had no clarity? We don't know who it is, but we sense that there's something in the words that he said. Throw it on the other side. We'll never throw it on the other side. We ain't caught nothing doing it on this side. What do you have to lose? Throw it on the other side. Well, okay. Throws it on the other side. That was the moment that I know that Peter had a healthy relationship with failure. Because it didn't make him freeze. If the failure makes you freeze, it has control of you. If the failure makes you so frustrated, you don't obey God. Because some of, I ain't throwing this, I'm ripping the net. You would have ripped it and forget this net. And some of y'all, things that have not worked out, you become so frustrated, you won't obey God. But it didn't make him freeze. It didn't make him so frustrated he didn't obey God. And it didn't even make him, watch this, fold. Most of us would have folded under that. He still had the faith to believe a word and throw it on the other side. Will you look to your neighbor and say, throw it on the other side? Come on, just one more time. Look at him. Look at him dead in their face and say, throw it on the other side. So this is all I'm going to do today. I'm going to teach you how to get familiar with failure. Write this down. How to get familiar with failure. Okay? Number one, factor it in. Factor failure in. You do it with your budget. I got this little contingency just in case something comes up, just in case I have too many Krispy Kreme donuts, just in case. How do you factor in a couple dollars and don't factor in for failure? And the church has taught us to not think that anything ever gonna go wrong. And today I'm telling you, when it comes to failure, factor it in. I'm gonna give you an example. Is Ava here? Bring Ava and bring the bike. Just bring it up here real quick. Okay, I'm a father with three girls and one boy, and one of the things that I'm tasked with is teaching my children how to ride bikes. Yeah, you could just put it right there. What's up, baby girl? You cute. I love you. You all right? You feel good?
Yeah.
Give me five. Okay, when we go out on the concrete street, hold on, just stay right there. When we go out on the concrete street, the first thing I tell my daughter is not, hey, Ave,
yeah,
when you go out here, don't fall.
Not to.
No, don't just try not to. Don't fall, because we're Todd's. And when we get on bikes and when we do things, we do it perfectly the first time, every time, all the time. Do you got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That baby's scared. She said, yeah. I would be a bad father if I didn't come to her like I actually did and say, baby,
yeah,
when you get on your bike,
yeah,
you're gonna fall. Okay? Now, when you fall, I want you, if you're close to grass, turn that thing into the grass,
yeah,
and fall into the grass. Okay, if you're not in the grass, like throw the bike away and roll. This is the conversation I had with her because I wanted her to factor in failure. Because if we did not factor it in, she would be surprised and maybe even quit trying. Because of the pain, not just of the impact, but the unexpected nature of the impact. So when we start going, come on, Ave, let's go. When we start going, I tell her, all right, Ave, yep, you got it. You doing a great job, baby. All right, pick it up. Just go a little faster, okay? And then we're gonna go. And then I say, look, Ave, I tell her, because we start going around hills and around corners and around stuff like that. And she actually failed. You remember last week when we was riding a bike and you failed?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do after you failed?
Got back up.
Now watch. She said, I got back up. Why? Because number one, her father was right there with her. Number two, the reason she got back up is because I managed her expectation and told her there was gonna be a fall. And number three, the reason she got back up is because, watch this, she knows that the only way to have a future on this bike is to keep getting on a thing that she can potentially fall on. Oh, God, if I could get y'all to understand this. And some of the Christians are like, well, she got training wheels on, even with all the prayers. Even with all the prayers, and all the Bible studies and all the different things, you can still, this baby fell with training wheels. So stop treating people wrong when you feel like they got all of the things they need to stay up. This is a church that will help people understand that you can get back after a fall, even if you prayed, even if you did the right thing, even if, okay, where's the church at right now? Hear me. My daughter is more confident today on this bike. The fact that she would come up here and do this example in front of everybody is a testimony to all the times that she felt comfortable falling with her father. She fell with her father enough times in private that she's okay in front of hundreds of thousands of people, potentially falling again in public. This is what the Bible means when it says a righteous man. Okay, let me just give it to you. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man falls seven times, but it says he gets back up again. Can y'all give it up for Ava helping me with this example? You wanna ride off, baby? You wanna ride off?
No.
Okay, you don't wanna ride off?
No.
Okay, just ride over to the side right there. Give it up for Ava as she rides off. Okay, no, never mind. You get off the bike, get off the bike. I saw the ramp. I saw her going down the ramp. Whole service over. What do you do with failure? Somebody say, factor it in.
Factor it in.
Say, factor it in.
Factor it in.
Factoring in faith does not mean, factoring in failure does not mean you lack faith. It means you have faith. If I'm gonna try this, there is a possibility. That's why when I wrote in Crazy Faith, there's a chapter that talks about 51% faith. That I don't have to be 100% sure something's gonna work out. I just need to be 1% over 50. I need to know God is with me just 1% over. Everything that we've done, I ain't never been 100% sure. I ain't never been 75% sure. Sometimes I'm not 55% sure. Sometimes it's just 1%. And if you're waiting to be 100% sure, when people say, I knew it was God, you're a liar. It proves to be God. It proves to be. So this notion that everything has to be right before I do what God's saying, you will never, ever do what God's told you to do. You need to factor in failure. So when I say failure, you say factor it in. Failure.
Factor in.
Failure.
Factor in.
Failure.
Factor
it in. Because if you factor it in, the fall doesn't make you quit writing. Okay? Second thing that you, oh my God, I got to tell you this story. Before we started this church and had a second campus, God gave me that big old thing, that list, that Crazy Faith, the Spirit Bank Event Center will be Transformation Church. And we tried to get this church, but it wasn't available. Somebody else had it under contract. And I was like, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm about to make a testimony that you can't take any credit for. So I said, what do I do right now? He said, work the faith that you have. So the faith that I had was to go look for buildings. We start looking for buildings. We find a pastor and a church that's going down at 61st and Peoria. And we felt like we could partner with them and help bring life and fresh and newness and help buy the building and all this other stuff. And we do all of this, have two prayer services at this church, tell everybody we move into 61st and Peoria, second location, north side, Peoria. We call to the hood, we changing the hood into holy. We did the whole thing. I'm telling you, we was on 6-1. Y'all know, anybody live in Tulsa know what 6-1 is. We was right there. And I worked my faith muscle so heavy for this building that could only fit 200 people in it. 200. And I'm casting vision, having meetings, meeting with bankers, doing all of this stuff. And then God says, you'll never have a meeting there. Wow. What? Hold on, I got plans, we got renderings, we gonna fix stuff. No, I'm telling you, I done all of the things. Write the vision down, make it plain, put a sign out there, pray around it. I mean, anointing driveways, doing everything. Y'all know I'm saying praying oil, just rocking oil, just dripping oil down the street, just. And the Holy Spirit said, you'll never have church there. Why? He said, because my ways are not your ways. My plans are not your plans. I needed to work the muscle of faith for what I'm about to do. It's like, what are you about to do? Literally weeks later, this building opens up. The language that me and Tammy had to know to even acquire this building was found in the faith step to get that little building. You don't even understand. The relationships, the bankers, it was so easy to walk into this season. It was so much more money, so much more responsibility, but so much less work because we took on the season that God put in front of us. And what could have seemed like a failure, we factored it in. To the tune of 2 years after we bought the building, we gave it to another church. You missed what I said. Almost $1 million investment. You don't gotta pay us. You don't got. But wherever you found us in that picture, you might have called it a failure. How do you deal with failure? You factor it in. Two. How do you deal with failure? You frame it right. Because we framed the failure that God's up to something. He's doing something with this. He's changing my life. He's preparing me for something. We framed it right. It changed the way that it came into our view. pass me that frame real quick. Just hand this to me, okay? Thank you. I just want you to see this real quick. Cameraman, I want you to follow my frame, okay? Like, where I'm at right now, I'm framed in the picture, okay? If I do this, follow the frame. And then zoom in just a little bit. Yeah. What I'm framing right now is not the thing I want you to actually look at. No, don't frame me in it. Put it on the frame. Because this is what we look at daily. Well, God, I just don't know if you're doing anything. Well, God, I just don't see anything in this. God, I just don't know if you really, really pictured what's going to happen. And God's saying, you need to frame it right. You need to put the focus back on the right thing. Wherever you frame it, come on down, come on down. Wherever you frame it, come on down, come on down. Computer robot. Come on, it's like, where is it? What am I looking at for real? Until you take and pick up the frame and say, I'm gonna focus on the thing that I can control. This looks like a failure, but with God, is there really anything that's a failure? God, I'm gonna actually trust you. I'm actually gonna put you in the center of this frame. I'm actually going to put what you did for me and the sacrifice and all the failures that actually people thought was a failure, and you turned it around. Think about Lazarus when they thought he was dead and you said that I'm about to resurrect this thing. It looked like a complete failure. Think about all of the things in the word that were framed wrong. What do I do with failure? I frame it right. And some of y'all been calling seasons the worst seasons of your life. I've just been in the worst season of my life. No. Yep. You've been in a season that's training you for the best season of your life. Frame it right. That, okay. That's what the scripture means in James 1:2, where it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, when failure of any kind, when opposition of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why would I do that? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to, it's the only way it can grow. You talking about wanting fruit? Some things only grow in adversity. They don't want me to tell you the truth, but there are things that are in me today that could not have come if everything was smooth sailing. There is a fortitude, a gangster, I don't care what nobody say as long as God called me. There's a fortitude, there's a confidence that if adversity had not come, my faith would not have had the opportunity to grow. And what you're running from is making me. Some people run from it, and other people run to it. If God is telling you that this is a season where I'm gonna test your faith, you're not in a bad season. The Bible says your reaction should be great joy. Yes! This sucks, but I'm about to be something I ain't never seen before. Come on, you can be honest. This hurts, but there's a healing on the other side of this that ain't nobody gonna be able to take credit for. This seems wrong, but the worship I'm gonna give God in the middle of this says count it as an opportunity for great joy. Y'all see how backwards the church is? We can't even celebrate what the word says. It's like, hold on, that's not what I wrote down on my prayer journal. This ain't what my Bible plan says. But being somebody who's walked through adversity, who has walked through things not working out how you thought it was, after that, I knew I was a believer. Some of y'all's faith has not been authenticated yet. Some of y'all don't even really believe what you say you believe, because it's not real until after it walks through some fire. The difference between a lot of jewelry people have on and real gold and real platinum and real silver, it's not exposed when you wear it. It's exposed when it's put under fire. And if your faith hasn't experienced any fire, my question is it even real? Okay. Is it even real? That's why when people get on and start commenting and doing all the different things, I'd be like, oh, their faith ain't even real. Because the Bible tells us in several places, this ain't the way to actually show the love of Christ. This ain't the way to lovingly confront your brother or sister, a post. This ain't the way. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So there's certain things that ain't even worth arguing about. There's certain things that ain't even, I'm gonna protect my pastor. Save your typing fingers and focus on what God's called you to do. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're arguing and being petty with people whose faith is not tested yet, it is called a distraction. And the enemy would love for you to get off of what he's called you to do. To, in the name of God, be protecting something that's already protected. Okay. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Stop fighting with things that don't have to be fought for. Because if we frame it right, all the things that have happened to me over the past 5 years, I didn't ask for this church to blow up. Hand to the Lord, that has never been my prayer. My prayer, God, just, no. Lord, whatever you want. This is your church. And because he did it, it came with stuff I hate. They don't want me to be real. There's some things about this I absolutely hate. I do not like it. But I cannot for 1 second deny the call he's put on my life, because there are things about this that are uncomfortable. Like, I'm just gonna frame it right. I met a couple last night in the airport getting off the plane at 11 o'clock with tears in their eyes because they came to Easter last week. They started reading Damaged But Not Destroyed, and God did some type of real deep work in their relationship to the fact that on a Saturday, they booked a flight from Atlanta to Tulsa, got in at the same time we got in, saw us. My man started crying immediately. Wife started crying. And they said, we just knew we were supposed to be in the house this week because God has done such a work in transforming our life. Listen, what I'm saying is they sitting on the second row right now. I'm not trying to embarrass them, but I love you. Jose and Jazzy, I love you. And we love you. Now listen. Listen, instead of comments framing the work we do, I put that story in a frame. You missed it. And so anything anybody says, I just remember Jose and Jazzy. That everything else could be going on, but whatever I choose to frame is where I will focus. And whatever you are framing right now is taking your focus. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? So whatever the failure is, frame it right. How do I frame it right, Pastor Mike? You got to remember that failure is an opportunity to become something different. Michael Jordan is arguably the best player that has ever, and I say arguably, and we're not going to go there today, the best player that has ever played basketball. And I want you to hear something that he said out of his mouth about his journey to success. Check this out.
I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed.
His failure and his healthy relationship with it is why he succeeds. I just want to frame for us, maybe the worst thing in your life in God's hands could become the best thing that he ever used to propel you into your future. Guys, I just don't want you to give up because you failed. I'm on my third marriage. No, we need some education. Probably need some therapy. Come on, let's. But don't say so. I'll never get married. Hold on, wait. You should be super wise now. After three? You should really be a sensei. Like, but many people don't stop to think about what the failure actually produced. So this is why my third thing you do with failure is you find the fruit. Anytime you fail, find the fruit. Why did this happen? Why did this not happen? What did I learn from that? What could I have done differently? What red flags did I completely ignore? Oh, come on. We don't want to be self-aware. I knew he was a liar and a cheater when I met him. And I ignored that because he was fine. Come on, let's go. Come on, y'all. I started that job and I did not ask what the requirements were. I was just happy to getting paid that much. They actually expect me to work for that check. I'm stressed, I'm losing hair. My list is chapped every day. I don't know what. Y'all got what I'm saying? Like, find the fruit. And most people, because they want to move to success so fast, they will not evaluate a failure. The thing about professional sports that I think makes these athletes so intentionally good is that it's required of them to study all game film, even the ones they lost. When's the last time you studied your last bad decision? When's the last time you actually evaluated, I let that friend go and that was actually my pride? That was something that could have been resolved with a conversation, but my pride would not let me have, because I seen they little subliminal post. That post wasn't even about you. But because your heart is offended, you made it about you. And you took away a relationship that God was going to use to sharpen you in a different season. He literally put it there, but because of your pride. But you ain't even evaluated. So you've ran through three or four besties. And God's holding back the other ones because he said, I can't let you keep killing these people. My cutoff game's strong. Yes, you're going to be alone. Because you're evil to people. And do y'all hear what I'm saying? Like, because we won't evaluate it. Because we won't listen to our children when they say, Mom and Dad, you really did provide for us, but I was missing something emotionally. No, we gave you everything. Okay. I mean, but evaluate for a second. Maybe the courage they had to even say something could deepen y'all's relationship in a way that could heal stuff from 30 years ago. But if you won't even evaluate, you won't find the fruit in it. Is this helping anybody, y'all? Like, I just don't want to play you as we go through this Christian journey that everything's going to be peaches and cream and rainbows and no. Sometimes it's, I'm sick of this. And when is this gonna work? And I've messed up willingly several times. Because I don't want to just act like it's just happening to you. Some of us get in the failure train. You in it. And you ride it until, like, it's called self-sabotage. There's some of us that are so afraid of what could actually go right in our life. Oh, God. That we will jump in a set of thinking that we will Sabbath, you know you ain't supposed to call him. You know you're not supposed to be with her. Well, Lord, if you don't want me to, you know where my heart is, so if you don't want me to do this, Lord, don't let him answer the phone. First ring, boom, hey. Like, because he's not going to force your hand, but he's going to give your heart an opportunity to make a choice. That's why I say it like this. Failure is a concept that we've made up. I literally looked up the definition, and it said, what is failure? And it's saying lack of succeeding. So this means your definition of success is very important to be able to identify if you fail or not. What is failure? Lack of succeeding. Well, if succeeding is having a bunch of money and people who know you, then failure looks different for you. If succeeding for you is being able to be, go on trips whenever you want to and be able to spend money, like if depending on what success looks like, that's where you get to figure out if you're failing or not. Well, if we bring it into biblical standards, what is succeeding? Through my research, through my time in study, through actually allowing the Holy Spirit to show me through scripture and in my life what is succeeding, this is my definition of succeeding: obeying God. Because the outcome doesn't always feel like succeeding. By world standard. Come on, let's be honest. Like, what did you do? I obeyed God. I did what he asked me to do. I tried to keep the Bible as the roadmap to my life. I forgave people I wanted to fight. I prayed for people who I know spoke negative about me. I tried to speak life when it felt like everything was dying around me. I just obeyed you, God. And whatever that got me, thank you, Jesus. But many times it didn't get what I thought it was gonna get me. If I'm not honest with you about that, you will be defining your life off of disappointments. When God is saying to you, like, this life is about obeying me, because I got plans for you. Before you was in your mother's wombs, I had plans for you. I knew stuff about you that you didn't know about yourself. And what I got up ahead is so crazy, but it's not what you think. It's not what you think. And if you hold what you think in such a high regard, you will be disappointed because that's gonna fail. But my plan for you will never fail. Somebody say, he never fails. We've been in the studio. We wrote a song called He Never Fails, y'all. It is a bop and a half, but I've been playing it over and over because my life has not looked like what I thought. But the failure that I have been contemplating is not a failure in God's book. Why? Because it's not over. So watch this. There are only two ways to fail. We about to go home, but I need you to hear me say this because this is going to guide the rest of your life. There's only two ways to fail: not knowing God and quitting. Those are the only two. Not knowing God and quitting. And most people that are in this room know God, but you quit. Or there are people that haven't quit. You grinding, you hustling. Yo, I'm gonna 10X this thing. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make a billion. You won't quit, but you don't know God. Failing. Because either we believe Romans 8 or we don't. And we know that all things, including failures, work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So what I do with failure, very simple. I factor it in. What I do with failure, I frame it right. What I do with failure, I find the fruit. And what I do with failure, I fix my focus on Jesus. So you will always have with failure the opportunity to fix your eyes on the failure or fix your eyes on Jesus. Do y'all know what Peter does after this moment where he's failed so many times? He fails all of these times, and then they throw the net on the other side. All the fish are like literally overtaking them. It's an overflow of fish. The Bible tells us it's 153 big fish. It literally gives us a number. 153 fish. Where was they at all night? Right. Now, I want you to think about this. Could this have been planned? Could this have not been a part of the plan that I needed it to not work out so that you could find where the source is? They have an encounter with failure, but they move past the failure in faith, catch 153 fish, and guess what Peter does? He says, is that Jesus? And he recognizes it's the Savior because of the miracle. The only one that could turn a failure into overflow. I feel this thing. The only one that could take the worst night and turn it into the best day. The only one that could roll this moment of grief into the greatest day of my business. And look what he does. He doesn't say, thanks, Jesus. Appreciate you. He literally says, oh, I got to go. I got to get to him. He literally, he said he was in his wife beater fishing whatever y'all say, I want to be politically correct. What do y'all call these undershirts? Okay, he was in his undershirt. Don't beat your wife, okay? So many things you have to think about in 2024 when you're preaching. He said wife beater. This shirt, he was in this shirt. Golly, I hate this. Okay. Y'all got what I'm saying though, okay? He's in his undergarments and he puts on his robe again. And I love this because he's about to see his Savior. So he literally says, I don't want to come to him any kind of way. He puts on his robe, but watch this, and then dives into the water. He puts on what's considered dignified and then gets undignified to get to him. Ooh, wait. He literally puts on what is traditional and then gets it soaking wet because he said it's going to take too long with them handling the blessing. I don't even want to stay around for the blessing. I got to get to the blesser. So he fixes his eyes on Jesus, does a Michael Phelps dive into the ocean, and he swims all the way to see Jesus face to face. Where Jesus, watch this gangster, has made them breakfast. So Jesus didn't really need the fish. He was already preparing a meal for them. But it's where Peter had his eyes fixed. The other disciples don't get to enjoy the meal until they actually come in. Peter gets to enjoy what Jesus has already prepared for him. Because when the blessing came, he didn't be like, whoa, 153 fish. My business is blowing up. Business blowing up. God is good. He's not trying to capture the moment. He's trying to get to the Christ. If you're in the middle of a failure, fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the protector. perfecter of what? Our faith. Remember, this is all about you not losing faith. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He went through a moment that felt like failure, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God. Failure isn't final. For the believer, it's a part of your future. I just want to encourage people, don't put a period where God's put a comma. There's power in this word, and. So much power in that word. I was a drug addict, and God radically saved me. And now I'm an advocate for people who struggle with addiction. Cross over the line of the failure. Break the veil of the failure. And you know how you do that the best? Everybody listen to me, because this is the last one. What do you do with failure? You flaunt the failure. This is where most Christians get stuck. Well, I don't want to give glory and praise to the wrong thing. That was a past. I don't want to lead anybody in the, they doing it anyway. You bring God glory when you tell what you've been through. Do you know how many kids don't know what their parents have gone through and they're running right into that same wall? And y'all think you're saving them because you're not talking about sex and you're not talking about the promiscuous, okay. Not talking about the tendencies that run in your generational line. So you just want them to fall? Talking about the seeds of greed and why y'all don't give and why you don't commit to a church. Come on, y'all. Let's talk about the... Don't let them run into them same walls without no conversation. And I found that when you flaunt it, it brings... And I'm not saying glorify the sin. I'm saying let the sin be the prerequisite to explaining how good your Savior has been. Y'all know my testimony because I flaunted. I was a liar. What's the next one? A manipulator. I was what? Addicted to... I'm telling you. Your testimony, my testimony is in your mouth more than yours is. And you think you're doing God a favor by acting all clean. But there are people who will never ever come to Christ until they know they will not be alone when they step over this line. And I need some people who have been bought with a price that know that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, that is only his grace and only his mercy and his work alone that we stand here. Standing all over this place. I need you to know it was only him. Somebody say it was only him. When you flaunt your failure in Christ, it changes how people see God. Peter was one failure, but y'all know another failure that wrote a lot of the Bible? Oh, y'all read y'all Bible. 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, here's a word you can take. Listen to this. This is some powerful Bible. Listen to me. Here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof. Another word could say, I'm fruit. Public sinner number one. Do you know how much you're flaunting when you give your rapper name is public sinner number one? That's his rapper name. Hey, this Paul, AKA public sinner number one. This is his rapper name. Of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now he shows me off. God flaunts you when you are not afraid of the failure. He says, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. Oh my God. deep honor and bright glory to the King of all time, one God, immortal, invisible, ever and always. Maybe the failure isn't final. Maybe it's a part of your future. Today, I want to pray for every person that is in the middle of a layered failure and you're trying to figure out, can I make it out of this? The answer is yes. And for everybody who may have failure up ahead this week, next year, 10 years from now, whoever you are, the Bible tells us a righteous man falls or fails 7 times. The power is in the get back up. And I just feel like there have been too many people who have fallen, but your fall was 7 years ago. And you've just made it a habit to just stay in the fall, stay in the fail. And when you stay in the fail, then guilt and shame and condemnation and time, well, I mean, now you got the faith to do it, but nobody's gonna listen to your whack song now. You old. Come on. Nobody's gonna, I mean, you missed your opportunity to be in youth ministry. You 52. How you gonna be in youth ministry now? And then you start letting the realities of things make you step back on what God said. But today, I'm asking everybody in this room and watching online to reframe the failure. If God be for you, then the marriage, the loss of business, the mistake you made, it does not have to define the rest of your life. The whole book of the Bible is about God redeeming things that seem like failures. Yeah. Yeah. And for his glory, turning it into a beautiful story. Today I'm coming to shake you and to lovingly invite you out of your failure and into a future that only God could get glory for. Could you lift your hands all over this building? I want to pray for every person. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've obeyed you. And Father, I thank you that today you would allow us to get a fresh perspective on what failure is. Let us know that the only way we fail is if we don't know you and we quit. Today, Father, we're making a decision to succeed by obeying whatever you say to do. Father, for all of us, that's different things. But today, I'm thanking you for such a resolve on the inside of everybody that is hearing this, whether they're watching it live, on rebroadcast, around the world, somebody sent them this. God, I'm thanking you for a resolve that failing with you is never ending in failure. Thank you, Father, that you are a God that resurrects things. Thank you that you are a Father that is kind enough to tell us to factor in things that we don't expect. Father, thank you how you've taught me through so many hard situations how to stand with you and stand for you. I'm thanking you for this church being able to endure so that their faith becomes something, Father, that is pure. God, I'm asking you that you would mature us, that we wouldn't always be searching for your hand, but you would give us your heart. God, I thank you that every person in this room under the sound of my voice would have a holy relationship with failure, that it will no longer freeze us, no longer frustrate us to the point of stopping, and no longer make us fold. We will finish what you've called us to do, no matter whatever the obstacles we have to face. Holy Spirit, be our guide. Lead us into all truth. Direct us around the things, Father, that are not meant for us, and then direct us through the things we gotta go through. We will not be afraid to walk with you, because failure is not the end. You proved it on the cross. Ugh. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you. I feel led to say this. I want to be very personal right now. I have one son who's been diagnosed with autism. The enemy has tried to literally corrupt me and my wife's faith by making something that was outside of our control look like a failure. It doesn't matter about a building. I'll give all of this stuff back. Y'all can go to somebody else's church. If my son could have what I consider the typical function of a child, I'll go do Amazon for the rest of my life. The enemy tried to make me stop. He tried to make what seemed like a failure. You can't go out there and talk about faith. You can't go out there and encourage people with what you're dealing with in the council. You can't do that. And I told the devil in his faith, I said, I will never stop doing what God has called me to do, even in the face of a perceived failure. Now listen, the hope that I have is it's not over. God has given me words about my son, and we all witnessed him as clear as day last week. Tell everybody happy Easter. They said it would never happen. But even the victories, sometimes the enemy tries to remind you, okay, you can say happy Easter, but can he do this? Can he do that? Like, I'm telling you, I'm in the middle of it. I'm not trying to act like I got this thing figured out. What I'm trying to say is there's a healthy tension between walking in faith and not being paralyzed by what seems like a failure. And us as believers have to step beyond whatever we think is going to happen and whatever even happened in the past that hurt us. And we got to move in what the Bible calls now faith. Somebody say now.
Now.
Right now. What is he asking you to do now? What is he commanding you to do now? What is he saying? Dust the shoulder. Even when I think about the disciples being sent out two by two, the apostles being sent out two by two, Jesus built in failure for them. This ain't even part of my message, but it's just coming to me right now. Remember, he told him, he said, if you go into a town and they don't accept your message, he said, Jay-Z, dust your shoulders off. Huh? He built it. He said, every place you go to do this, they not going to do it. You're going to fail in some places. But don't stay there. Dust your shoulders off. Come on, somebody prophetically, come on. Come on, just come on. I feel that thing. I feel a Jay-Z spirit coming on me. Hey, some of y'all, the most prophetic thing you going to do this week, say, I failed at that. I was a liar. Yep. Yep. I did miss that opportunity, but God, thank you. Woo. If you're in this room and you need the power and the strength to actually dust your shoulders off, I want to introduce you to Jesus. He's the only one that gives me the strength to stand here today. He's the only one with all my issues and all my faults and all my mess ups that is like, hey, I'll claim you. If the world won't, I will. If your family won't, I will. And he's transformed my life. If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or you've been walking without him for years, you knew him when you was younger, you knew him in a different season, but you need to make a fresh commitment. Today, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hands online, in the room, in the children's, wherever you at, in the hallway. Today is the day of salvation. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. I feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your eternity is secure. Your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, just lift your hands all over this place. I see you, my brother. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you, sister. I see you. Wow. All the way. Come on. Glory to Transformation Church. Let's give God praise. See you. See you, my brother. I see you. A whole row. Listen, you can put your hands down. More than I see you, God sees you. And at Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So we all gonna pray this prayer. Just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for seeing me in my failures in sending your son. Today, I give you my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God the biggest shout of praise in here? Oh, come on. Somebody's coming out of a failure. Somebody's walking into their future. Let's give God praise for that. And listen, if you just made that decision, welcome to the kingdom. Will you type save to 828282, or you can click the QR code, or there's a little fancy thing on the back of your seat that you can do. But we want to walk with you. Hey, everybody, listen. Before everybody stop, freeze. Okay. Do not leave here and walk past your tribe. A lot of the healing you need in the midst of failure comes from your friends. And if you don't have any, or you have toxic ones, because the other thing I need to say is people have friends. It's just they're not the right ones for your future. Can we be honest? Oh, they're my partners. These my boys. These my, They're also your hindrance, roadblock, and setback. Be open to finding a new tribe. And let's let God do something that's amazing. I just feel the presence of God in this place. And I'm going to dismiss everybody. I know there's certain things that were supposed to happen and all that. I want you to sign up for a tribe. But I'm going to just ask the worship team, because somebody just got a breakthrough that needed a shift in their mind. And our response to that many times is to talk. But a lot of times it should be to worship God. Like it's an answer. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to do that. I'm going to pray for you and y'all can leave. Father, thank you. Thank you for the overflow that's about to happen in people's lives as they actually walk in freedom. Thank you for what you're gonna do. God, even I pray for this music that it's about to be released, God, on this Friday. I thank you, Father, that it's yours and you can do whatever you wanna do with it. We are not attached to any metric. We are attached to your spirit and being obedient. And Father, for anybody who's lost, broken, or still hurting after all of that, God, would you set up a divine encounter? Meet them at Quick Trip. Meet them at the mail, the post office box. Meet them at the gym. Father, I'm asking that nobody would be able to outrun your grace and love. Thank you for a week that only you get the glory from. Father, we will not be moved by any failure this week. We're going to reframe it and put it in view of you. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, there's a big sign in the back that says prayer. We have trained people that want to agree with you. They're not about to do nothing crazy to you. They just want to touch and agree. There's power in that. And we're going to worship and set the atmosphere. And if you got to go get your kids and all that other stuff, go do that. We love you. Go out and live a transformed life. Hug on somebody and let them know you love them. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Here at Transformation Church, our vision is to represent God to the lost and the found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit on our website. Also, be sure to subscribe and check out all the other incredible sermons available. Now, go out and live a transformed life.